today is the first Sunday after Epiphany, also the commemoration of the baptism of our Lord, but also the kind of the resuming of a series that we've been working through called Journey to Discipleship. And of course, the journey to discipleship begins with baptism. As we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are being put to death, as it were. So baptism commemorates both it's a funeral and it's a birth all at the same time. It's like the birthing unit beside the morgue in the hospital. And the old one dies, and then we are resurrected into new life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've had two messages on this already, and then we took a break through the Advent Christmas season. So maybe just a quick recap on where we've been so far. In the first message, we asked the question, what is discipleship anyway? And we concluded that it's a journey of following Jesus. It's not an event. It's a process. It's about apprenticing ourselves to Jesus, choosing to be with him so that we could be like him and to do what he does and to be what he is like. And that involves submitting every area of our life to the Lordship of Jesus. And then in our second message, we considered the start of the journey of discipleship starts with an internal change. And we defined a Christian not as someone who lives according to a certain ethical code, although Christians do, but that's not what makes them a Christian. Not someone who attends church, although Christians do, but that's not what makes them a Christian. And we identified a number of things that are good and holy and right that Christians do, but none of them are things that make us a Christian. A Christian, we said, is someone who has been supernaturally born again by the Holy Spirit. Not just someone who practices Christian practices or rituals or affirms Christian beliefs. And that this results in two major changes. It results in a change of state, that we cease to be the sons and daughters of Adam, and we become the sons and daughters of God. There is a transfer in our identity, and in fact, this change is so significant that we could also describe it as a change of species, transferring us into a whole new realm of existence where the very DNA of God is infused into us. To be regenerated, to be born again is to be regenerated. And in that little word, big word actually, regenerated is the word gene, G-E-N-E. We're regened, and we receive the very character of God within us, so that we are the sons and daughters of God, not just metaphorically, but actually. So today, now, I want us to consider the question, how do we keep moving forward as disciples? This is the Australian coat of arms, and you'll notice that it pictures two creatures. There's the emu, which I think is just, you know, one of the most hilarious creatures on the planet, the flightless bird, and the kangaroo. And these animals, we're told, were chosen by the Australian people because they share some characteristics that appeal to the Australian people, because both the emu and the kangaroo can only move forward. They cannot move backwards. The emu's three-toed foot causes it to fall over if it tries to walk backwards. And the kangaroo is prevented from moving in reverse by that large tail. And so they can only move forwards. And those who choose to follow Jesus are like the emu and the kangaroo. We are designed to move forwards. And this doesn't mean that our spiritual progress will never be interrupted. It doesn't mean that we'll always move straight ahead, because you're only an emu and a kangaroo by illustration, not actually. You actually can move backwards. And in fact, sometimes that's what the Christian life kind of feels like. Three steps forward, two steps backward. One step forward, two steps backward. That's our experience, but that's not what we're designed for. And the question of concern is, how do we ensure that we can keep moving forward? And I want to share with you this morning just one way to ensure that we're growing as disciples is to have the right intention. Anne beautifully read from Peter's second epistle, and in verse 5, Peter wrote, "Make every effort to add to your faith." So in this passage, Peter lists a catalog of virtues, of holy things, holy characteristics. But at the beginning of the list, he puts faith, and he sets faith apart as being somewhat unique. It's not just one virtue among many, but it's the root virtue from which the others grow. And we have to be a little bit careful here, because not all faith is necessarily saving faith. Not all faith leads to conversion. So a couple of things on faith. First of all, faith is more than belief about God. Biblically speaking, faith is not limited to simply intellectually agreeing that God exists or intellectually affirming certain Christian doctrines. It's not an emotional attraction to Jesus. It's not even participation in Christian worship or sacraments necessarily. You know, in the book of James, we're reminded that the demons could come to one of my systematic theology classes and seminary and get an A on the final exam. Intellectually, they're very well acquainted with who God is and what God is like. So that kind of belief does not transform. It's important. I don't want to minimize it. It's important. But it doesn't transform. It doesn't save. Faith that results in conversion is not about just believing that something is true. It's entrusting ourselves to someone who is true. So biblically speaking, faith is not merely intellectual agreement, but it's personal trust and surrender. So that at its core, faith is relational. Now that trust and surrender is certainly based on believing certain things. It's not unimportant. And it's about trusting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, not merely as our example or our teacher. It's yielding control of our life to him. It's relying on his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and continuous intercession rather than relying on our own goodness or ingenuity. And this is why Scripture so often connects faith with words like receiving, coming, abiding, following. Those are relational terms. So faith is not passive. It's an active placing of our lives into Christ's hands. And conversion happens when faith moves from, I believe this is true, to, I entrust myself to Christ, and my life now belongs to him. It moves from, I believe in Jesus, to, I believe Jesus. And then we could say that faith involves repentance and reorientation. Faith that saves, that regenerates, that puts us on the journey in discipleship is inseparable from repentance. And repentance is not a self-exercise in achieving moral perfection. But repentance does involve a change in direction and orientation. Turning away from self-rule, turning toward Christ's lordship. If you imagine a train barreling down the tracks in the wrong direction, away from the kingdom of God, repentance is not something that makes us arrive at the kingdom necessarily in fullness, but rather is the process whereby the train gets lifted up and turned around and starts moving in the right direction. It's a turning around, a reorientation. And that kind of faith reorders our loves, our loyalties, our priorities, and it marks the beginning of a new way of being, not just a new way of thinking or believing. And then a fourth and final thing I'd like to say about faith, it's the beginning, it's not the destination. And Peter is quite clear that faith is not sufficient on its own. It's the doorway, it's not the whole house. And this is why he says, make every effort to add to your faith. True faith always carries within it the intention to grow. I asked the question at the beginning, how can we ensure that we are always moving forward in discipleship? And I answered the question by having the right intention. And what is that intention? It's the intention to move forward, to add to our faith, to continuous growth. If faith is alive, it will seek expression in character, in obedience, in perseverance, in love. And a faith that never grows, that never deepens, and never reshapes a person's life is really not the kind of faith that Peter has in mind. And then Peter, in our passage this morning, provides an example list of virtues that can be added to our faith. Make every effort to add to your faith. That's the right intention. And then he lists them for us. But, and again, this is not a full list, it's an exemplar list. But goodness, that's the quality that makes people trust you. Knowledge, that's not just head knowledge, although it can certainly include that, but ultimately an intimate knowing of Christ, of a person. Self-control, the willingness to pay the price to do what is right rather than what is urgent. Steadfastness, or as the NIV says, perseverance. That's the willingness to bear hardship and not quit. Godliness is being like God. Godlikeness. Brotherly kindness, that's relating to fellow believers as if they were blood family and not just people that went to the same building that you do once a week. And then love, acting towards others in the way you would have them act towards you, even when they are not acting that way towards you. And then Peter says in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, emu, kangaroo, moving forward, increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest danger to the Christian is not that they'll get slack and won't get into heaven. That's not Peter's big concern. Peter's big concern is that we will be ineffective and unproductive in our faith. Really nice people, but not really contributing much to the kingdom. So, to finish up then, the Christian life was never designed to be lived in neutral. Like the emu and the kangaroo stamped on Australia's coat of arms, disciples of Jesus are designed for forward motion. Yes, we may stumble. We may pause to catch our breath. At times, we might feel like we're losing our footing. But we are not meant to live facing backwards. And Peter writes this to his audience because he knows how easy it is to stop moving, to settle into comfort, to let the fire cool down. So the question before us this morning is simple and searching. Are we adding to our faith, or are we standing still? Step by step, virtue by virtue, grace upon grace, the Spirit calls us onward. Faith, baptism begins the journey, but discipleship is the long life, joyful but hard process of moving forward.